Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Well, better days is something, of course, that we are hoping for. It's really been very, very interesting to note that the impact that October 7th has had on the world, Jews, non-Jews, but and in fact, in so many conversations that we've had with people who are survivors of October 7th, where we spoke about, you know, people who weren't religiously observant, but have just see the world as a very different place. Well, it's not limited to Jews. And there is a Ynet article: the number of people seeking conversion to Judaism has surged amid the Gaza war. Conversion inquiries, particularly amongst unaffiliated Israelis, climb as Israelis reconnect with tradition and Judaism after October 7th. And to me, this is just a little bit of light in all of the darkness. Rabbi Eliezer Simcha, he's a member of the Chief Rabbinate Council of Israel. Good morning, and thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Well, Howard, good morning, and thank you, and good morning to all your listeners. And please God, we should have good, better times. We've been living through from Simchat Torah till today, tremendously revealing times. This last Shabbat in Israel, we celebrated the longest night. You remember there was a film in the Second World War, The Longest Day. It was the longest night. It was a remarkable thing. I mean, people were in trepidation. We were told there were missiles coming towards Israel. We were given 8 hours warning. And thank God. And also, obviously, the fact that the army and the Israeli allies got together and worked so finely, and it all passed over. So we do feel, religious Jews certainly do feel, some sort of miracles happening, especially when we are united, that miracles do happen. Now, as what you were talking about conversion, you're quite right. I haven't been involved in one of the programs about this. You have to realize that in Israel, there are many, many Jews who are not, in fact, halachic Jews. In other words, they have come from the Eastern countries, from the communist countries, the former communist countries, on the basis that their father was Jewish and not necessarily the mother. And they've been rediscovering their Judaism. The people who've been coming from South America, who can't prove their Judaism, but 300 or 400 years ago, their families definitely were Jews, and they were forcibly forced to convert. And there's this large group of people in Israel who are not, in fact, technically, halachically Jews, and the last situation has caused many of them to decide that they've got to complete what they came for to Israel, that we're all here in one boat. And the problem started to arise when there were soldiers who were killed, and it was suddenly realized that they hadn't completed their conversion. So much so that I was in a committee meeting in the Knesset where suggested that in order to enable these soldiers to convert completely to Judaism, and they can't get back to Tel Aviv, whether it's a rabbinate or Jerusalem, that we should set up a rabbinate in Gaza, to help convert. So I think what has happened is that people have decided they are in the same position as everybody. So let us complete what we wanted to do, what we've been trying to do for so many years.
And what's incredible?
That's my explanation.
What's incredible about that is that if we go back a year where we saw really, really awful things happening within Israel in terms terms of the fight for identity, we saw religious against irreligious. Now, despite what some of the media is telling us, you know, when I was in Israel a few weeks ago and I visited some of the army bases, the number of Haredi participants in the army at different units, the way in which secular Israelis were embracing religious rituals and ways of life. The number of people that I spoke to that had stopped driving on a Shabbat, it was incredible for me. You know, I came away so inspired by this vision of what can be. And I mean, it's terrible that it took an October the 7th, but it's really remarkable to see. I hope we can continue to see that along this journey.
Well, Howard, you came from abroad, and you know sometimes a visitor sees more than the local people, and I'm so glad it was so obviously apparent to you that you see, you know, it's all very well in the speak against each other when they're in Tel Aviv or in Jerusalem, but here we have thousands and thousands of boys and girls living together with different, totally different backgrounds, fighting together, risking their lives together. They are all one person, people. I mean, they're all basically, forget about politics, they're putting their life on, they can all get onto a and leave the country where they chose so to which, but on the contrary, people are coming back. And let's hope it doesn't. Do we realize that unity has to be above all, that our enemies without are greater than those within?
There is
sorry, did you hear me?
Yes, we heard that. Yes. That is where we do need to leave it. It's about to go 9 o'clock. I really think it is so important, and I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. I know you don't have much time to type, but I will check the messages, and we can continue this conversation tomorrow, because it is about retaining this unity. How do we do that? How do we take what was so bad and so dark, but look at those flashes of light and turn them into something bright and something sustainable?